Please turn with me to Psalm 124 as we consider this psalm, which speaks so much to us of the Lord defending, protecting, and caring for His people. Carry on His covenantal promises, as we have witnessed this evening through the administration of covenant baptism. The Lord reminds us through His word in Psalm 124 that He never leaves nor forsakes His people. That regardless of the danger, the peril, the enemy that they may be fighting against, that they may be persecuted for or by, the Lord is everlastingly with His people, delivering and defending them. Psalm 124, we read all the verses of 124. This is God's holy, inerrant, and inspired word. Give heed to it, and may the Lord apply it to all our hearts. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. The swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Thus far the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Let us pray. Great God in heaven, we once again come before your word seeking food for our souls. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us, O Lord, as we understand your word. We pray that through the power of your Spirit, you would remove the blindfold of our eyes so that we may see the beauty, the power, and the comfort of your word tonight. May you point us to Christ, O Lord, and may you glorify the name of the King of the Church in our hearts. In His name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Despite of the many tragedies that we have been recently been acquainted with due to this war in Israel, there was one specific thing that I was not acquainted before that really surprised me, and it is Israel's defense system called Iron Dome. It is surprising to see how that system of missiles and bombs kind of protect Israelite territory against rains upon rains of rockets that come from the Gaza Strip. Now, despite of the efficacy of that rocket system, of that defense system, here and there, the system fails. Despite of, with precision, it really destroying those rockets that come to destroy Israelites in Israel's territory here and there, one rocket is not captured and causes blast and destruction. Which really made me think of our personal defenses mechanisms. Because we all do, as fallen human beings, we tend to have our own defense mechanisms manufactured by our own minds and our own devices. We tend to seek comfort and help and comfort in that which perhaps will grant us a little bit of satisfaction and all these things for a period of time in a point in history, and yet all of them fail eventually. You see, as we turn our attention to Psalm 124, we are reminded that the only defense mechanism that does not fail, that the only defender of His people who will indeed never, never fail is Yahweh and His covenant. Psalm 124 describes a covenant and people who were scared, persecuted, in danger. And yet it also reminds us that in all these circumstances and situations, The protection of the Lord never fails. This is the true iron dome, the steel dome. There is no metal that can indeed describe or be compared to the defense and protection that God alone can grant to His people. And as His people understands that, they rejoice. When the sirens go up of danger, they don't fear. But they gather together and they praise Yahweh. That's what we see here in this passage. Brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, we are reminded tonight through Psalm 124 that the covenantal God is on our side. The covenantal God is with us. And therefore, there is no reason for fear. There's no reason for defeating thoughts. There's no reason for cast down faces and shaken souls. But there is reason only to rejoice. There's reason only to rest. As we consider then these verses tonight, this is what we learn. We learn that we must rest in Yahweh and give Him praise. Because He is the one who defeats all our enemies' powers and destroys their plans. There's no reason for fear. There's no reason for any defeating thought. We must rest. The Word of God calls us tonight to rest in Yahweh and give Him praise because He alone defeats the power of our enemies and destroys their plans. We consider this psalm tonight under two headings. First, we notice that we must rest. Christian, you must rest in Yahweh because He defeats the enemy's power. And secondly, we consider verses 6 to 9 when you ought to praise. Yahweh's defense must lead you to praise because He destroys our enemies' plans. Yahweh defeats our enemies' powers and therefore we must rest. Yahweh destroys the plans of our enemies and therefore we must praise Him. You see, verses 3 to 5 in the first section of this psalm, this describes a real danger situation, a real terrifying situation. There are enraged men who are seeking to destroy the people of God. You notice that at the end of verse 2, for example, the description is that men rose against them. Now remember that this expression to rise against someone in the Hebrew means to seek to destroy someone's life, to seek to terminate it. Now, these are men filled with anger. Look at verse 3. These are those whose wrath have been kindled against the people of God. This is a serious threat. This is a terrifying situation. Now, no scholar has been able to pinpoint the historical context for this psalm. If it was when the Israelites were taken captive into Assyria, or if it was when they were taken captive to Babylon, or even all the way back to Egypt. No one can really pinpoint in the history of Israel when that is. But if you think this through, isn't that the entire existence, the entire life of the people of God? When one presents himself into this world in allegiance, in covenant with the only true God, isn't the waves, the floods of persecution, suffering, and tribulation immediately come upon them? It seems to me that there's not a single specific point in history that really fits this psalm, but this psalm describes the entirety of the existence of the people of God. True Christians, true sons and daughters of Abraham, will always face this real danger. These enemies have real and overwhelming strength. Look at verses 3 and 4. They are about to be swallowed up because of these enemies. This is an expression of the power, of how their strength is superior, how their power is superior to Israel's strength. Notice, actually, there is a progression, a beautiful progression, poetic progression. Notice, it begins talking about waters. And then it talks about a stream. Look at verse 4. The waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream, which is a wadi. And then the swollen waters. You see the progression? It begins as simple, a simple element as water, but then it becomes a swollen or a raging water. This is a real threat. And the strength of this threat is overwhelming. The people of God understands that on their own, they cannot overcome it. On their own, there is a deep acknowledgement and a deep understanding in the soul of the psalmist that on their own, they cannot resist. And that's exactly when we read verses 1 and 2 that rest comes. It is precisely when we are overwhelmed by this sense that we cannot overcome on our own strength. It's precisely when we are convicted that the strength, the power of the enemy is too strong for us, that then the people of God rest in the arms of Yahweh. And that's exactly the beginning of the psalm, isn't it? The psalmist begins with rest, with certainty, acknowledging that if it was not the Lord on their side, then they indeed would be doomed. That they would perish. Look at verse 1. If had not been the Lord who was on our side. Now, notice a couple of things here. Number one, it's that the covenantal name of Lord is used in the psalm. Right? And again, when Yahweh, the covenantal name of God, is used, appears, we always must have the entire system of the covenant. The Lord promising and covenanting with His people that He will be their God and they will be His people. This promise never fails. This promise never disappears. Not even the sins of the people is able to break the bond of this covenant because the Lord swore on His own name. But the second thing is that this Lord, it's not any Lord, if it had not been the Lord on our side. You see, the psalmist relies in the certainty that different from other gods, false gods, idols created by the peoples, the Lord is faithful and He is on the side of His people. Christian, do you understand this tonight? Perhaps you sit here tonight and you feel like surrounded by enemies. Perhaps you sit here tonight and your sin surrounds you, and the feeling is that you are about to be swallowed up. The accusations of the devil surrounds you, and it seems that you are about to be swallowed up. But the Word of God comes and reminds you who are in Christ, the Lord is on your side. The Lord is with you. And therefore, regardless of the rage of the enemy, regardless of their overwhelming power, even if it looks like that you in your strength, and that is the truth, in your strength, you cannot escape. But the Lord is there to defeat the power of the enemy. That's exactly what we read now in the beginning of verse 1 when He calls Israel to respond. He says, let Israel now say, if had not been the Lord on our side, then their strength would have prevailed. You see, the people of God is acknowledging, we on our own strength, we can do nothing. But because the Lord is indeed our divine defense, nothing can surpass and overcome His strength. He's always with His people. This is something very interesting that we can gather from the grammar, the Hebrew grammar of these verses 1 and 2. A commentator, a scholar explains this to us. He says, what the expression is communicating to us is not only that the Lord is always with His people, but that it is not possible that the Lord was not for them. And so it could never be that the enemies would destroy them. And you see, Christian, it's not only that the Lord is at your side, but it could not be any other way. Because you are so worthy of protection, because you are so faithful into following the Lord, no, because of His covenant. Because Yahweh will not fail in His promise. And you see, as we approach these verses with the eyes of the new covenant, we have even more certainty and assurance in the Lord Jesus Christ that this statement, that this truth, that we must rest in Yahweh because He defeats the power's enemies, because He's always on our side, becomes even more evident to us. Is it really possible for us to say that Jehovah takes sides? Of course it is. You see, that's exactly what Paul says in Romans, in a very known passage, Romans chapter 8. He says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" You see, dipping in the notion that we find in Psalm 124, and talking now about salvation in Christ, and I'm sure you remember the entire passage, that nothing can separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the reason why He's on our side. It's because of Christ and because of all that He has conquered for us. And therefore, all the list of enemies that we find in Romans chapter 8, although they are overwhelmingly powerful, they are not powerful before the face of God Almighty, who has saved us through Christ and redeemed us through the blood of the Lamb. That's why Paul can say, therefore, who can condemn us? It is Christ who justifies us. He says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Look at the enemies. Tribulation, distress, persecution, the sword, nakedness, peril, famines, all overwhelming, strong enemies. But in the same assurance of Psalm 124, looking to Christ, Paul says, nothing. The Lord is on our side. You see, baptism reminds us of that this morning, doesn't it? This evening. Baptism reminds us that the Lord is on our side because it reminds us of the covenant of the Lord. Baptism is one of the signs of the covenant, as we so exhaustively know, as we were instructed again tonight through the voice of our fathers in the past. Covenant baptism reminds us and points us all the way back to the covenantal faithfulness of the Lord, generation upon generation, that His promises never end and never fail. And therefore, we are once again reminded, as we see the waters of baptism being administered in an infant, that the promise of Yahweh stands. He will not be moved. And therefore, you may rest, Christian. Oh, if you sit here tonight, may you rest in the assurance that regardless of the overwhelming powers that may be assaulting your soul tonight, the Lord is by your side. Oh, you may go back home and rest thoroughly and have a sound night of sleep because the Lord is on your side. Not because of your righteousness, not because of your holiness, but because He has bought you through the blood of Christ. You who have come to Christ in true confession of sin, you who look to the blessed Savior in faith and embrace His blood shed on the cross, here is the assurance for you. Rest. Rest in your covenantal God, for He defeats all our enemies. You see, that is also very relevant as we prepare to partake of the supper next Lord's Day, isn't it? For what is the table of the Lord but a table of preservation? A table of maintenance. You see, the table proclaimed to us that it is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross that vanquishes all the powers of our enemies. The power of sin is defeated because of the death of Christ. Sin could kill you, Christian. But the death of Christ gives you life eternal. The power of the devil is turning to nothing. The table reminds you of that. The accusations of the devil, they are turning to nothing because your debt has been paid through the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, as we partake of those elements this coming Lord's Day, the Lord willing, let us be reminded of that. Yahweh is with us. Our enemies have already been defeated. That is the table of rest. And the Lord maintains that rest as He calls upon His people to eat of Him and to drink of Him, so that we may be reminded, because we are prone to forget, aren't we? We have weak memories, just as we have weak faith. We need to be reminded once again, Christ has died for you, Christian. He has cleansed you thoroughly. He has washed you entirely. He has given you eternal life. Therefore, rest. Because regardless of how powerful and threatening and overwhelming your enemies may be, the Lord has defeated their power. But in addition, we also learn in this text that we're not only to rest. More than rest, we must praise. We must rejoice. We must come together, not only every Lord's Day, but every morning and every evening, every single day and every single time that the Lord gives us breath. We are to praise Him and we are to rejoice Him as we return to Psalm 124. That's the call then now of the psalmist. The psalmist called God's people to praise Yahweh because the plans of the enemies cannot succeed. It says in verse 6, blessed be the Lord. You see the praise? You see the worship? You see the adoration? Blessed be the Lord who has given us, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Here then the enemies are described as wild beasts. We have more metaphors. Right, previously we had the metaphor of the waters and of wadis in the desert, like swallowing up the people of Israel. But here we have this metaphor of a wild beast whose teeth are ready to devour the prey. Another metaphor is of a hunter who plans and schemes and put before his prey a specific trap. Verse 7, our souls has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. In other words, the psalmist is saying, not only our enemies are very powerful, but they scheme against us. There are machinations and plans and methodologies and strategies set to make you fall. But the Lord break it all. None of their plans are successful. It's like one of those Wall Street financiers that set up an entire plan to profit immensely with the stock. And all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, he is destroyed. He's bankrupt. You see, the psalmist describes the Lord as one who destroys the plans of the enemies. They scheme, and their schemes aim at destruction. But the Lord has a different plan. Their plans do not overcome the Lord's plan. And then we come to verse 8. Verse 8 that you hear, Christian, every Lord's Day, morning and evening. And here, this text, as we examine this verse in this context, we understand why we say what we say every Lord's Day together. When we say that our help is in the name of the Lord. Let's examine this together meticulously tonight in light of this text. First of all, remember, this is the context of the covenant. The word help here in the Hebrew is, again, another metaphor, is another synonym to deliverance. You see, in the context, what is happening? Israel that is compared to an animal about to fall in a trap, is delivered. So when we together say that our help is in the name of the Lord, it's not simply that the Lord will come and assist us in some sort of difficulty. No, He will deliver us. You cannot escape if you're left alone. The work is all His. And because the work is all His, it is a perfect work. There's not a single thread of that trap that will attack you, that will reach you, that will hurt you. That's why then we confess our help is in the name of the Lord. Our deliverance, our salvation, our escape from the traps of the evil one. That is through the Lord. But why the name of the Lord? Again, remember, the third commandment tells us to not take the name of the Lord in vain. And we know that in the Hebrew theology, in the theology of the Old Testament, the name of the Lord are everything, all those elements that the Lord uses to reveal Himself to us. His Word, His attributes, His creation. So what are we saying when we say that our help is in the name of the Lord? The name of the Lord basically is a synonym to the Lord Himself. All His attributes, His faith, His love, His compassion, His mercy, His justice. Christian, it's all your help. Your deliverance is the product of Yahweh's care. Your deliverance is the product of Yahweh's love. Your deliverance is the product of Yahweh's justice and care for His people. Every single attribute, His holiness, His righteousness, every single one of His personal attributes which define God, the person of the Blessed One, that's your deliverance. That's why you are delivered. And that's why you can rest and bless and praise this deliverance. How assured can we be of that? Well, is He who controls heaven and earth able to miss anything? You see, we have this statement that our deliverance is in the Lord. And here's the why. Because He's the maker of all things. Because there is not a single element in creation, heaven and earth. There is nothing in heaven above or in earth beneath that is not under God's control. And that's why then you can bless Him. That must be your fuel, your motivation, Christian, to come in the Lord's day and to enter the courts of praise of God Almighty, blessing His name, praising Him with your fellow brothers and sisters, rejoicing in this redeeming God whose entire person, entire attributes are involved in your deliverance. And He does not fail. Because he has universe control over all things. Calvin helps us here immensely. Listen to his words. He says, "We know with that any disquietude in our minds are agitated till they have raised the power of God to its appropriate elevation. That the whole world being put under, it alone may be preeminent. The power of God alone, having the universe being placed under Him, the power of God alone and God alone is preeminent, which cannot be the case unless we are persuaded that all things are subject to His will." Christian, is this your assurance tonight? Do you sit here tonight embracing by faith alone, through Christ alone, the certainty that the Lord who made the heavens and the earth is your deliverer? And that all His attributes are applied and used towards your deliverance? If that's the conviction of your soul and heart, then the Lord has granted you all that you need to address with great expectation, excitement, and earnestness the worship of God every Lord's Day. The worship of God in your homes. The worship of God in your private devotions. You may indeed not only rest in Yahweh, knowing that He defeats all the power of our enemies, but you may also rejoice in Him and praise in Him. And even though a sadness may assault us in this world, even though disquietude may sometimes attack our soul, we then lift up our voices in praise because of God's deliverance. This deliverance, this redemptive plan that never fails, that is forever. You see, baptism points us to that, doesn't it? Does not the waters of baptism remind us of the cleansing through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, it does remind us of our weakness. The waters of baptism reminds us that we are sinners in desperate need of salvation, but it also reminds us that salvation has been provided. That there is a water that can cleanse us. That is not natural water, regular water, but is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that has been appointed because of God's covenant before the foundation of the world. The Apostle Peter in the first epistle, thinking about the everlasting nature of the covenant of the Lord, connects the covenant of God with the efficacy of the blood of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, we read when he says, knowing that we were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from our aimless conduct, received by tradition from our fathers. But we have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The Apostle Peter then points us to that foreordination in the following verse. He says, he indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ, was foreordained before the foundation of the word, but was manifest in these last times for you. You see, the covenant of God that baptism reminds us point us all the way to eternity back and all the way to eternity future. It points us all the way to eternity back because the covenant of God was made between the Father and the Son in the eternal times. It was foreordained that He would be our Redeemer. And in the fullness of time, He has come, accomplishing the covenant of the Father, conquering all the enemies of our souls. Isn't that reason, Christian, for you to praise? Even when tear comes to the eyes, even when the circumstances are overwhelming, isn't that reason enough to lead you to praise? You see, that's also encouraging as we seek to prepare ourselves to partake of the supper next Lord's Day, isn't it? Because while the table of the Lord is the table of preservation, is the table where we are reminded that all our enemies were defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ, the table is also a proclamation that the plan of God prevailed. Ever think about that before? When you look at the Bible, we see the devil with a lot of schemes and plans to avoid, destroy, to get in the way of the coming of the Blessed One. All plans failed. Even at the crucifixion, when they thought that they killed Jesus, when they were mocking the Blessed Son of God, if you're truly the Son of God, come down from that tree, they said. Oh, foolish ones. Because it was exactly that tree that was the accomplishment of the plan. The plan of the enemies, they never succeed. But the table proclaimed to me and to you, Christian, that the plan of God has succeeded. And He invites us to come and to rejoice with the accomplishment of His plan. If we are in Christ, if you have come to Him, oh, prepare your soul to partake of that blessed sacrament next Lord's Day, being reminded of that we must come with our hearts full of praise. Because with His plan, Yahweh destroyed the plans of our enemies. You see, Christian, there is only one defense system that can shield you from any power, any threat, any danger in this world, regardless what it is. If it is physical threat, if it is psychological threat, the only defense system, the only defense mechanism that never fails, that is infallible, and that is efficacious, is that the Lord is on our side. Remember that, Christian. Remember that our help is in the name of the Lord, Maker of heaven and earth. Let us pray together. Great God in heaven, we thank You for being our defense. We thank You, Lord, for with every single attribute that describes your blessed person to us. You reach us in our despair. You reach us in our perdition. You lift us from the dust and you grant us victory in Christ and you crush our enemies. Oh Lord, as we understand these things, especially as we look to your blessed Son, our King, our Savior and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of your Spirit, Lord, we pray, grant us rest. Father, we pray for those who perhaps are weary tonight, their souls assaulted by the enemies. May you grant them rest in Christ tonight. We pray for those, O Lord, who are doubtful and discouraged. May you strengthen them, reminding them that your plan has prevailed. That no force, no power in this world can overcome your power, can resist your power. Father, we pray for those who are discouraged and unable to praise you. Grant them the desire, the earnestness, the drive to praise you as they think of the accomplished plan of salvation, the complete and full accomplishment of salvation through the once for all sacrifice of Christ. But Lord, we pray also for those who are afar from Jesus. Those who continue to rebel against you, we pray that you would grant them repentance. We pray, Lord, that you would grant them, that they would acknowledge their sins, that they would abandon their rebellion. So they too, O Lord, may experience, according to your will, the rest and the praise that is reserved for your people. Be with us, O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name.